I'm John Dankosky from Next and the New England News Collaborative. A new children's book called The Night Is Yours captures a snapshot of life growing up in an apartment complex. This is Abdulrazak Zakaria's first book, and it's based loosely on his childhood with his sister as inspiration for the main character. Abdul grew up in an apartment complex in West Haven, Connecticut, and he's here to talk with us. Abdulrazak Zakaria, welcome to Next. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about the place where you grew up.
Yeah, so the apartment complex is called Terrace Heights in West Haven. It's a pretty diverse community. I grew up with a lot of different children of immigrants, including myself, a lot of children of color, and people of varying kind of working class and lower middle class income. And the apartment complex was just had a huge courtyard and an open space that all the kids would play in the afternoon and during the summers. So I got to really think a lot about that when I was writing the story.
Yeah, the story is about a nighttime game of hide-and-seek, and it illustrates something that seems pretty clear from the place where you grew up. It was a good place to be a kid and to play.
Yeah, definitely. It's the kind of space that I think should be available to a lot of kids. You know, if they don't have a courtyard, then they should have a park near their home. But it allowed for all of us to interact and kind of see the lives that we had with each other in an open and shared space.
One of your goals here is to upend negative stereotypes about communities like yours, apartment complexes. What do you think some of the negative stereotypes are, and what were you trying to disprove, I suppose?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things when I was growing up is the assumption that apartment complexes and kind of like densely populated living spaces in urban areas can be very dangerous. And for myself, I didn't experience that with my apartments. I experienced a lot of light and vibrancy and you know, adults and older teenagers kind of like offering their advice and guidance to younger kids. And it seemed like an intergenerational space for growth and opportunity and development. And I think that narrative, where if you bring a community as close together like that and provide them with a space to really engage with each other, that's the narrative that I wanted to share about apartment complexes in its most ideal form.
It's so interesting because, you know, starting in the 1950s, I suppose, so much of America decided that the real dream for their kids was to have their own backyard. And it wasn't to live in an apartment complex with a bunch of other people. But what that meant was a lot of kids, I suppose, playing by themselves or maybe with a few neighbors in the backyard. I love in your book how you illustrate this courtyard. And there's a sense that all the parents, all the families, all the kids are kind of watching each other and kind of watching out for one another.
Yeah. I think for me, recognizing and understanding that shift in history, it was a period of time where people kind of stopped thinking about everyone else's kids. And I think what was great about my neighborhood is that like everyone cares about everyone's kids. And we all think like for my kid to grow well, they have to have good friends in this neighborhood and have to watch over that same group of kids as well.
I wonder if you can read just a short passage from the book. It's right in the middle. And as I said, there's a game of hide and seek that's just started. And maybe you can read for us a little bit.
Yeah, of course. One by one, your friends find porch staircases to hide behind, bushes to crouch between, and piles of leaves that were just raked up this morning. The night is an extension of your skin, all of you children, blending in when you want it to and popping out when you want it to, because the darkness of the night is yours, like the darkness of your skin.
Can you talk a bit more about that idea and this idea of the darkness of your night and the darkness of your skin?
Yeah, I think for me, another piece of writing the story was trying to create a narrative with a character of color in which it was not, you know, a narrative about the civil rights movement or slavery or kind of the negative aspects of being a person of color in the United States or negative historical moments, and was also not a kind of like exceptionality, first black person to do this type of story. I wanted to showcase a child doing a regular activity that any other child could experience, but also center the fact that this child is a person of color, is a black child, and they're very beautiful. And kind of using the fact that the nighttime is this kind of darker period, but it's also a very beautiful time, and thinking that the darkness of my own family's skin I consider very beautiful, I thought those layers made sense to overlap in some way.
The other thing that I think this does is a lot of children's books treat the darkness and the night as a scary time to overcome, and you like lean right into it. You embrace the night.
For me, when I was a kid, the nighttime was when I was able to think the most. I would step outside the apartment complex and like sit on the porch and just kind of look up, and I felt like I got to be contemplative, really like see everything around me and understand the space and feel open and in a way that the world was not allowing me to do otherwise.
You also mentioned earlier that the people who live in your apartment complex, it's a diverse group of people, not just not just ethnically or racially, people who come from different parts of the world. Tell me about how that influenced you.
Yeah, I think I ended up becoming accustomed to diversity in a way that I didn't realize was rare around the country. And West Haven in itself is an oddly diverse place, same as New Haven. And I got to really understand what it's like to engage in someone's culture and really respect it, such that when I got to places where there was a lot more isolation, sometimes my school or sometimes going to college, everyone would kind of like talk about the importance of diversity, and I would never be able to see that in those spaces because I understood diversity as much more integrated and collaborative through my environment and the apartment.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you can talk about your experience when you went to college. It was only just really a few miles away from this apartment complex, but you went to Yale University, which is in New Haven, Connecticut. It's a majority minority city like the other small cities in Connecticut, but it's also the place where there's Yale and there's this grand tradition. I'm wondering how the diversity that you experienced growing up was thought of on the Yale campus, how maybe it was a different experience for you.
I mean, the way that admissions ends up is there's kind of a manufactured diversity that happens. You know, you admit a certain number of students of color, and you can present a certain percentage of students of color you have there. And then there's a wonderful thing at Yale with the cultural centers where students can kind of be part of different cultural activities and cross interact with each other. But the hardest thing was when you were in an actual classroom, you would likely be, you know, the one black person, the one person of color in many of your classes, especially in your first couple of years. And I think that was a level of frustration that I experienced immediately that I didn't get because when I was at home, you know, I didn't ever feel like I was the only one. So to jump into Yale and jump into a place that kind of is touting an increase in diversity, but to not see that in the way I understood it was frustrating. It made it hard to adjust in those first couple of years.
Yeah, how did you deal with it?
I think the biggest thing was leaning into a lot of the different activities that are there to support both students of color and first-generation college students. So I was really involved in the Afro-American Cultural Center. I was a member of Shades of Yale, which is a singing group focused on music of the African diaspora and African-American tradition. Everything that would allow me to take lessons about my own culture and my cultural identity, learn from others, and then share that with students who are coming in to help their experience in transition.
What do you hope people take away from this book? What do you hope that people see in it?
I really hope that they see the value in black children altogether, just looking through the eyes of Imani, but seeing the value in kind of sharing space with your neighbors and really engaging and watching over each other's children, and not like parenting someone else's child, but rather like seeing and supporting their own growth and development. If you see that there's a kid who makes a mistake, not going and scolding them, not going and calling the police on them, but going and talking with them and talking with their parents, seeing how you can be helpful to support their growth and really see the spaces and communities as places for development and education.
Does your family still live in that apartment complex?
They don't. We live around the corner, though. I live in New Haven. They live around the corner in West Haven. And this apartment complex is very close to UNH. So some of the apartment units have been taken up by UNH students now. So it's a very different environment. The last few times I've visited, it's extremely quiet. I don't really see kids playing outside. So that's been an interesting change.
The author of the book is Abdulrazak Zakaria, and the book is called The Night Is Yours. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Listen to Next on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.